I'm Glenn Boehm with Bernie's Own Boehm Commercial Group. We were founded in Boerne, have a Boerne focus, and a global presence. It would be my honor to be your real estate broker of choice. We handle all types of real estate transactions, commercial, residential, and land. For nearly two decades, we've stayed true to our core value, integrity. This has led us to be number one in commercial real estate in the great state of Texas and top 10 in the United States. You can reach us at glennboehm.com. That's Glenn with one N and Boehm, B-O-E-H-M.com. Boehm Commercial Group.
This is the 12-time state champion swimmer Alexa Boehm. You are listening to The Power of Perseverance with my dad, Glenn Boehm.
Welcome to The Power of Perseverance with motivational stories of unyielding results. We will share with you moments of unbelievable inspiration that will empower you to have a positive impact on others. And now, here's a top-producing commercial real estate broker in the country and named number one in Texas by his brokerage, your host, Glenn Boehm.
Good morning. This is Glenn Boehm with the Boehm Commercial Group. And just as my beautiful wife, Amy, indicated, I'm the host of The Power of Perseverance. We never know when we will be called to persevere through one of life's storms. Our guests will share their life-defining moments of perseverance or even just survival. We hope to touch your heart and empower you to inspire others. We are coming to you from beautiful downtown Boerne, Texas, inside the Boerne Radio Studio. And normally, this is the time when I introduce my guests and talk about what they're up to. But today, I'm going to be interviewed by my good friend and owner of Boerne Radio, Baron Wiley.
Good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning.
You're looking good.
Thank you. Surviving after playing some golf yesterday.
I know, we got
good.
Some sun.
Yeah, we went out and supported the Boerne PD. Really important stuff.
Yep.
And all the mission that they're on.
Yeah, they're trying to raise money to get a new canine for the unit. Very exciting here in Boerne.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yep.
Glenn, let me first say, I am very proud of what comes out of the speakers every Saturday here on Boerne Radio with The Power of Perseverance. I know just the people that have come in here had a wonderful experience. But two, we have no idea how many souls you've touched. And this is a kingdom thing that I can see.
For sure. When we first talked about doing the show, it was a real estate show. And as I've shared the story, it just wasn't setting well with me to do a real estate show, even though I'm a real estate broker and my wife's one of the top realtors in the area as well and all this stuff. So we have lots of knowledge there and experience. But instead of that, what really fell upon my heart was to do something that would help inspire others. And everybody's going through something, some kind of storm. And maybe they could identify with the person we're interviewing with the storm that they've come through or the storm that they're in or the storm that, you know, that they know they're going to have.
Absolutely.
And by identifying with them, they can know that there's people out there who survive. And I always say, as we get into my story, I'm just an average guy. If I can survive these things, so can you. And that was the whole purpose behind it.
Yeah. Well, again, mission accomplished there for sure, but the mission keeps on going. Everyone has a story to tell, and now's the day I've been asking you to tell your story.
Yes.
And that's why we're here.
Yes, you have. And interesting enough, I've always pushed it back and pushed it back because we've had a lot of great stories come through. But yeah, so today we decided let's talk about my story and have you interview me.
We have something in common. I grew up in Houston, Texas, and you've made no secret about it that Houston is where your roots are from.
That's right.
Tell me, what were you like as a kid, by the way, Glenn?
So as a kid, I was, first of all, let's talk. So growing up in East Houston in the 70s and 80s and 90s.
Good time.
Actually, 70s and 80s, really, because I went off to A&M. But so it was tough, right? Yeah. East Houston was a really tough place to grow up. And especially in the 80s when everything crashed. For those who don't remember, we had real estate crash. We had the oil market crash. Mm. And basically in Houston, Texas, in the 80s, that's all you had was oil and gas and real estate. And so when they both crashed, and I remember both of my parents being laid off because they were both in the oil and gas industry. And we're just trying to survive day to day, which they worked hard. We always had food and we always had love. And those are the two things I can always look back and say, we always loved each other and respected each other, even though it was hard. And I'm not saying there weren't arguments and things like that in the house, but we had love and we had food and really not much else, to be honest. And survival in a neighborhood like mine, I've joked around through life, but it's true. When you're born and God knows you're going to live in East Houston, he gives you fight and flight. He doesn't give you a whole lot of flight because he knows in this life you're going to live in East Houston, in poverty in East Houston, you're going to need a whole lot of fight. So hopefully you're able to use your intelligence to realize when you do need the flight, but your initial instinct is always fight.
Was your back ever against the wall?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah?
All the time.
Were you picked on? Because I don't mind saying this, you're a strong man.
Sure. But you know what? That's when your back's against the wall and you get to decide, am I going to flee and this is going to continue to happen, or am I going to stand up and fight, win or lose? Damon West is a guy who's going around right now, national speaker, and he ended up in prison.
Okay.
And he talks about this all the time. And I love his perspective. He goes, fight every fight, but get up. And he said that's how he won the respect in prison of everybody, was he didn't win every fight, but he got up. And he said, and that's how you won his respect.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of the whole thing when you're growing up in East Houston and poverty and all this other stuff is you got to get up. Things are going to knock you down. And even today, things are going to knock you down all the time. You just got to get up.
Did you have siblings?
I did. I had an older brother and a younger sister.
Very good. And was faith a part of that family equation too?
Oh, faith is the way you got through all of that. I can remember going, in fact, so the first time I really experienced the Holy Spirit was Sheldon Baptist Church out off of Sheldon Road. And Sheldon Baptist Church, and it was after football, and we went to a good old Baptist revival. And then when they were saying, hey, if you feel moved, come on down. So I did.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I can really remember. I was 14. You can remember things a little better than as a child, but I can really remember being touched by the Holy Spirit.
Very good. Very good. All right. So now you're a teenager. And again, you laid the foundation down that crash and poverty was a thing in your life there to qualify to go to A&M. How did you get to that road?
I was very fortunate that I played sports and I played every sport I could play.
Uh-huh.
And that really is what kept me, I think, away from the trouble that I saw people get into. A number of people that I graduated with, either while we're in school or after school, ended up in drugs in one way or another. And my neighborhood was probably the most infested with drugs of any. And I was just sharing a story not too long ago. I remember sitting in, so I did do well with grades. And so I remember sitting in one of our honors classes. I think it might have been physics or calculus. And a gentleman sitting right next to me, all of a sudden, he goes running out the door. Not a word. He just gets up and runs out the door. And then I could hear the clanking of the chains in the hallway. Those were the drug dogs. We were talking about the canine.
Wow,
those were drug dogs. They would come in almost daily. He heard them, and he knew he had to go get whatever he had in his locker out of his locker and into the toilets in the restroom or wherever he disposed of them. But anyway, in an honors class, right, these are everybody who's expected to go to college or something, and he heard it, and boom, out the door. I'll never forget that.
Isn't that fun?
But that's how the drugs were. We had teammates that were on the weekends doing drugs. But fortunately for me, with my focus on football and grades and knowing that I wanted to go to A&M and knowing that I wanted to get out of this way of life, so I just stayed away from all that.
Very good. All right, so obviously your parents are proud that you went to A&M.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
And that in itself was interesting because I graduated in 1988. It's late 80s. And basically, due to not having any money or anything else, I was on my own to get myself to college. I was on my own to figure out how to have money to survive. And so I got a job, I got an apartment, did all that stuff. So really, it was up to me to do all that. Looking back, I don't know how I did it. I know I worked. Even when I was in school, I had a job on the weekend basically as a janitor at this place, cleaning toilets and all that other stuff. And all that money would go into a savings because I knew I wanted to go to school one day.
That's perseverance right there.
Just surviving East Houston is a story. We could break that down into different sections, but Sheldon Junior High was a very tough place to be. Every day was constant. You had to fight or flight, and every day was constantly saying no to drugs. That was middle school.
That's middle school.
So then you knew what it was like once you got into high school. And some of the athletes in high school that you looked up to, you'd go out on the weekends and you'd see them and they'd be doing drugs. That guy's going to go play at the University of Texas. What is he doing? And sure enough, went to the University of Texas, got caught up in drugs, went to jail, scholarship over.
Yeah.
So those are the things you got to witness when you grew up in East Houston that you knew that's not going to be part of my story.
Wow. Glenn Boehm already. Yeah. Show's over, but no, there's more.
Exactly.
Life goes on. So flash forward, get married.
Yeah. So I graduated A&M in 92. So I persevered through A&M, no money. I just knew that I had to get my degree. And actually, I was going to go to, I thought about going to law school.
Wow.
And then this is funny because I said, okay, I'm tired of being poor. I'm going to go get a job. And then I say this is funny because and I'm fast forwarding a little bit, but then once you have three kids, then you understand when you're standing in Walmart looking at a $9.99 pair of shorts and you're looking at your basket and you got three or four bottles of Enfamil in there and you're like, I don't know if I can pay for all this on my way out the door. So you put the shorts back that are for you because you got a cart full of diapers and Enfamil. There's choices you're making there. And I joke around about that, but you know, I graduated A&M, got a job back in Houston, and then eventually met Amy.
Yes, sir.
And then we got married, and my kids like to joke around and ask us, when did I know? I knew within 24 hours I was going to marry her.
Really?
And then they ask her, and she goes, well, it took me about a month.
Oh, wow.
And I said, you know what? With how immature I was, we met at 26.
Uh-huh.
How immature I was at 26.
Yeah.
I said, it's a good thing you didn't meet me at 25 because I was way more immature at 25. That whole becoming more mature.
Sure.
It also has a lot to do with meeting the person when you know, that has a lot to do with it too.
Yeah, so, congratulations.
Yeah, if she was sitting right here with a microphone, she'd probably say, I'm still waiting for him to be mature.
That's part of the fun.
That's part of the fun.
Congratulations there. And then you just brought up, you got three kids.
Yeah, so then
there's a road there.
There's a whole story of perseverance here. So I'll just fast forward through some things. But one day we wake up and I said, Amy, I've got a meeting with the pastor. At our church, the Lutheran church down off of 1604. And we go meet with him. And I walk in, the first words out of my mouth to him is, I'm mad at God. Mm. And he's, okay, let's walk through this. And I said, we've just had our fifth miscarriage. And I don't understand this. We're good people. We give to the community. We do all these things. I don't understand this. Mm. And so through that conversation, we ended up landing on, have you thought about adoption? And we've talked about it, but we haven't really gone down that path, and that maybe our path in life to have children, maybe it is through like an adoption. So we ended up going down that path. We adopted three children. We went from zero kids to three in 9 months.
Oh my.
And their ages were 0, 1, and 2, and they are all siblings. And so we adopted them. And I've had Alexa in here, and Alexa works for us, and we didn't know it at the time, but the youngest is special needs. Uh-huh. So anyway, that's a whole nother story too. But yes, we adopted three children and they've all gone through Bernie ISD and they love Bernie.
Oh yeah. So. What a great place to raise a child for sure.
Yeah.
And one is a special athlete, I know.
Yeah, yeah. She's 12-time state champion at the Special Olympics in swimming.
Very
so
cool.
That includes her individual and her relay team. But yeah, 12 gold medals.
Yeah. And
downtown Bernie.
Here we go.
We've got some sirens going by. And as we've talked about before, one thing that I've always done with my kids is when anybody that has sirens goes by us, we just take a second to pray for whatever family that, you know, they're going to visit. And
right.
Whether it's police department, like I saw the chief of police the other day making a call head-on collision by the high school.
Wow.
And he said he knew when he heard the call come in, because I said, you don't have to make that call. What are you doing? And he said, I knew when I heard the call come in that it was going to be kids and it was head-on. Now, fortunately, it was a low speed head on. But anyway, that's about all I know about it. But when I drove by it, he was there.
Yeah.
He was the first one there, the chief of police of Bernie.
Wow. We always have to pray for our first responders. And again, those folks in that accident for sure. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
How blessed we are to live in Bernie.
Yeah, no doubt.
So in that season of raising these kids, how old are your kids today?
So today they are 20, 21, and 23.
And you never stop being a parent, Glenn.
Hey, a friend of mine used to say this all the time. He goes, bigger kids, bigger problems.
Wow.
And my kids were tiny, and at the time his kids were in high school and graduating high school. And he'd make that statement, and I'd go, and I didn't really quite get it, right? Mm-hmm. And then as they got older, I understood. But it gets back to the thing that Stan Leach shared when he was in here.
What
right?
did he say?
He said, there's only three kinds of people, right? You're either in a storm, walking out of a storm, or walking into a storm, right? And I joked around and said, I'd like to be the guy walking out of the storm one time.
Right.
Just one time. The storm is in my rearview mirror. The flip side of that is there's another one coming. But that's why you partner with God and you figure it out.
Do you want to talk about being a grandparent now too?
Sure. Yeah. Our oldest daughter has had two children. And so we're grandparents when we actually adopted Hazel, our oldest granddaughter. And anyway, so yeah, that's a blessing. Just to spend any time with her is a blessing. Yeah. And so we're working through all that process too. That is a whole story of perseverance there. For us, for our daughter, for the grandchildren, the whole thing. It's just a whole nother story of perseverance. But yeah, it's.
Because you're starting over basically, right?
Yeah, that brings a whole nother level. When you're in your 50s and you got to get up in the middle of the night to change a diaper, which if Amy was here, she'd go, when did you do that? But she does 99% of the stuff. We I have a phenomenal wife. She does not. That's why I knew within 24 hours she was going to be my wife. I didn't know all this, but I knew at the time when I met her she was special.
You joke around a lot, but you're also very deliberate when you honor her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you have to do that. Wow. So on top of raising three kids and grandkids,
yeah,
you still have to work, and you've done a really wonderful job here in Bernie. I can't drive around the town without seeing your name on a board because you're in the commercial real estate business, of course.
Yeah.
And on the surface, that looks fantastic.
Yeah.
How's that road?
Yeah. So I will tell you, probably one of the most critical points in our life as a family came. So we adopted children. We have these careers we're working on, and I was actually coming out of corporate America at the time. So AT&T announced they're moving to Dallas, and we knew we didn't want to go. Our kids were here. They're in school here, so we knew we didn't want to go. Doing the real estate thing, and I decided to buy a business. And I really, if there's any men out there listening, I want you to really listen to this part. In the middle of analyzing this business that I decided I wanted to buy, one night Amy looked at me and said, please don't buy that business. She said, there's something that I can't put my finger on. And it was her intuition telling her this. Something I can't put my finger on that's not right. And she goes, please don't buy it. I told her she was wrong. I did not listen to her intuition. And I moved forward. And we'll get into that story. But here's the thing I want men to know. The two most powerful forces on earth, the Holy Spirit and your wife's intuition, especially if she's a mom. And when that intuition kicks in, every time I've gone against it, I have fallen flat on my face. This past weekend, I had to back up. I'm out. Yeah, I told you I was out doing a bunch of yard work stuff. And I'm painting. So when you're painting outside, you have a lot of time to talk to yourself, think, and pray. And there's some decisions we got to make, and I'm giving my opinion. And I'm like, you know what? She said something, and I'm not listening to that. That might be her intuition. So I backed up and went back in and said, what is your intuition telling you? Because I know two things. It's the second most powerful force on earth. And if I'm not listening to it, I'm going to lead us down a path of falling on our face, which gets us back to a couple of really important things. When I bought that business, what we did not realize was it was full of fraud. The whole thing was full of fraud. And that's what she was feeling, but we couldn't quite pin it down. So we still bought it. And so we ended up having to close that business, which cost us a lot of money. And then so here, March 31st, that particular year, we're sitting there looking at each other one morning and going, what are we going to do? And then I will tell you, moving forward, May 16th, of that same year, I'm alone. I'm in a house down in Corpus Christi. It's dark, and I'm trying to get all the levers pulled to get all this thing straightened out. And I remember God. I heard God just as clearly as you and I are talking right now. I heard God say, "Read the book of Romans."
Okay.
And I thought, I brought a couple of other books, including the Bible, and I heard very clearly, "Read the book of Romans." So I opened up the book of Romans, and as you get in the book of Romans, it talks about perseverance in chapter 5. It really is clear about perseverance and how it builds character and all this other stuff and how really it's the hope of God. So I heard in the middle of all this, I heard one of my friends say, you know, when a man loses hope, that's about as bad as it gets. And I think God was wanting me to read the book of Romans to realize that all of these things that are going on that I'm trying to help get us out of, that as long as I kept hope through my faith, that God was going to show us a way out.
Amen.
And he did, as you alluded to earlier. It allowed us to get back focused on what was important, God, our family, and our jobs. And we've been very successful.
Yeah. Did you immediately go from that closed business into commercial real estate?
I already had my real estate license.
Gotcha.
I thought this was going to be something that we could add on to the commercial real estate side, and then it ended up being all-consuming. And obviously, when you're trying to save every dollar on a business that you have to close, it is all-consuming.
Yeah.
And we did meet some phenomenal people along the way who helped us.
Okay.
So, yeah, just different places. It's funny how God put you into it.
Do you want to honor any of those folks?
Sure. Like Dean Greer, he is a bankruptcy attorney, and I remember sitting down with him, and he said, you guys, he was number one. He goes, I don't wish bankruptcy on anybody. And he goes, it'll tear you up. And he said, but looking at everything, because I don't think you guys need me. He goes, you need to figure out your plan and a path out of this. It was great advice. And so here's a guy that we're ready to pay to help us get out of this. And he goes, no. He goes, you figure out every other avenue before we go down that path. And it really opened my eyes to, okay, there is a way out.
Yeah.
There is a way to manage all this and get all of this done. And like every other person we've interviewed in here, partner with God, ask him to show you. And then other people came along too, like Dave Claflin,
yes.
who calls me out of the blue and says, hey, I want to pray for you. And I'm like, how did you know? Today is a really tough day. How did you know to call today? He goes, man, the Holy Spirit just put you on my heart, and I want to call you and pray for you.
Yeah.
And I said, man, I'll never forget. I was at the Love Station at the split when you go off to George West.
Yes.
Or you continue to go down to Corpus. I was at that Love Station putting fuel in the truck, and I sit there outside the truck and just prayed with Dave. I might have gotten in the truck, but anyway, yeah. prayed with Dave.
Right so, there. Isn't that yep. funny?
Funny, the Holy Spirit.
Just that mark. Yeah. You know exactly where it was.
I know where it was. Yeah. It was midday because I was on my way down to Corpus trying yeah. to work on that stuff. But Dave knew that the Holy Spirit let him know that I needed prayer that day. It's things like that pop up when you're going through this stuff that is amazing.
You say it all the time. Everyone's got a story. It's part of the intro to the show. And if someone wanted to ask you to tell the story to their business group, you yeah. have a lot of wisdom, a lot of experience. Are you open to doing that?
Oh, yeah, anytime. Anybody that wants to contact me anytime, anywhere, really simple, glennbame.com. That's the way people can get in touch with me. I set that up years ago so that I never had to change. I had Hotmail, then I had Yahoo, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to figure this out. So I bought glennbame.com.
You're the only Glenn Baim I've ever met in my life.
Exactly. So I bought that, and that's how people get in touch with me, glennbame.com.
Very
so,
cool.
Yep.
Now I'm going to ask you advice for me.
Yeah.
You said every man listening. What's the takeaway from all this, Glenn?
First of all, I would say the two most powerful forces.
Yeah.
That thing. Holy Spirit, your wife's intuition, and I always, especially if she's a mom. There's something that God gives.
Mama bear, huh?
God gives mothers something special that men just don't have. At least
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
And that's important to listen to those two things.
Yeah.
And in that order, the Holy Spirit, your wife's intuition. And something else that happened during that time of the business failing. One thing that I got through scripture was I was just floating through and letting Amy lead the Bible study with the kids and all that. And then scripture says, I'm to step up and be the spiritual leader of the house. And even though I probably fell at that every day, probably make mistakes, but I decided God tells me that's my role.
Yeah.
So I definitely stepped up and said, okay, I can't do this without you, which then he says, well, I've given you the Holy Spirit. So don't mess that up. I'm making jokes about it, but I've given you the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So that was a huge thing that came out of that. And then just when I look back, perseverance, the epitome of perseverance, when you're sitting there thinking my world is coming to an end,
right.
Not the whole world, but my world is coming to an end. All of this is bad. Mm. And I remember I mentioned March 31st, we had $5,000 in the bank, which is not a big deal, except we had $7,000 of stuff due on April right. 1st. House payments, car payments, things like that. So how do you get through all that? You've just figured it out.
Yeah.
So we figured it out. We paid everybody. We got through it. We worked hard. And that's the other thing, too, is you've received emails from me at 3 and 4 in the morning.
That's right.
When we got stuff to do, I just get up and do it.
Yeah.
That's the other thing is instead of just sitting there waiting on things to happen, we just got busy and just, I'll never forget the phrase that my wife would use a lot, head down, work hard. So just head down, work hard, and that would be the formula to get us out of that. And we did. So those are the things that I really learned about that.
And then one thing, too, that you said earlier, that some people, I think, feel in their own road in this thing called life. You said that you were mad at God.
Yeah.
Did you have a moment where, okay, God, thank you for taking me through that? Was there a release of that? Is it okay to be mad at God?
What it got me to was a position to say, really, honestly, what does the Bible say about all of this? What does his holy word say about all of this? And diving in deep and reading that and studying it. Mm. And I used to joke around, oh, I can't remember scriptures. Man, when it changes your life, when it impacts you, when you look back and like this morning, God is, he's the truth and the way and the life. And when the word is the truth and the only way to get through perseverance is partnering with him, and then the life you experience through that,
yeah.
when you actually experience that, and those three words in that sentence, and that's just one piece of it, but those three words in that sentence really impact your life, and you can really tangibly feel it. You can hear God, just as you and I are talking right now, reach out to you and say, read the book of Romans.
Yes.
That really puts the teeth into it where you go, okay, I hear you, and I'm still the worst of the worst, as Paul says, but I'm going to do my very best to lean into you, God, and have you and the Holy Spirit guide me through this thing we call life.
Yeah. Glenn Boehm, thank you for persevering.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your gift with us.
Absolutely.
And a very special God bless you to you and your family and to the next generation of Boehms.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And yeah, people say all the time, can I pray for you? Or I'll call somebody and say, can I pray for you? And my favorite response, whether it's me or somebody else, is, man, I can always use a prayer.
That's right.
I don't care how good things look. You can always use a prayer. Because there's always, as Stan shared, there's always something going on. There's always a storm on you or in your future.
Yeah. But you're never alone, my friend.
You have the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And you know what? And if somebody's listening to this going, you don't understand my storm. You don't understand. I've hit rock bottom. I would say, read the book of Romans. That's what got me through it. Good. Yeah. Thank you, Baron, for this opportunity and for sharing my story. And I hope it touches someone's heart today. And I know that the listeners, your time is very valuable to you. And hopefully we did touch your heart this morning and empowered you to inspire others. And once again, this is Glenn Boehm with the Boehm Commercial Group, where we have a Bernie focus and a global presence. And we're here on Bernie Radio. And you can always reach us at glennboehm.com. And again, that's GLENBOEHM.com. Hope you have a very blessed day.